You're listening to McBee Care Threads, a podcast where leaders across the healthcare industry can learn from each other. We'll discuss stories and explore strategies to help providers deliver value-based care and hear your peers share their best practices for success. Let's get into the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Care Threads podcast. My name is Alex Riley, and I am a clinical consulting supervisor with the IRF Education Training and Consultation Department of McBee. Today, I am joined by Jamie DeCilio and Roxanne Butterfield, both of whom are a major part of the nursing department at Intermountain Health. This past fall, I was lucky enough to attend a presentation that Jamie and Roxanne presented at the American Medical Rehabilitation Providers Association annual conference. The title alone drew me in, which was, "You Are Not a Lift." This highlighted a technique called the BMAT that they implemented across various Intermountain Health settings. Their presentation emphasized the importance of safe patient handling and how the BMAT is an easy and effective assessment tool for clinicians to keep in their toolbox to help determine whether or not additional assistance is needed for safe mobility. Jamie and Roxanne, why don't you tell the listeners today a bit about yourselves and your roles with Intermountain Health?
Thank you, Alex, so much. So my name is Jamie DeCilio. I'm the Nursing Director for Rehab Services at Intermountain Health. And Roxy?
And I'm Roxanne Butterfield, and I'm a Nursing Manager for Intermountain Health on an inpatient rehabilitation unit in St. George, Utah.
Thank you both so much. Would you mind telling us a bit about where the Intermountain Health sites are located?
Of course. Yeah. Intermountain Health is a large not-for-profit healthcare system. We're located in the called Intermountain West, and that's in the states of Colorado, Idaho, Montana, Utah, and Nevada. We have 33 hospitals, and Roxy and I primarily work with our inpatient rehab units. We have five programs located within Utah and Colorado with a total of 108 beds between the five programs.
Wow. So it spans a big, big area of the country. Awesome. Before we dive deeper into our discussion specifically about the BMAT, I wanted to explain the relationship between UDSMR, which is now a part of McBee, and Intermountain Health. Intermountain Health has been long-term subscribers of UDS, and we have collaborated with Intermountain by providing consulting services in the scope of medical record auditing and customized education to the folks at Intermountain for several years now. Now let's get into the details of our discussion. Can you both tell us why you chose to focus on this topic of the BMAT?
Well, Roxy, I'll go first and I'll let you explain why you're interested in this topic. But, you know, I'm a rehab nurse. I've been a rehab nurse my entire career. And I had a badge of pride every time somebody would ask me, "Hey, Jamie, come help me move my patient." And I'm like, "Of course I can." And I didn't know the damage I was doing to my back, right? I would move people up and down in bed, in and out of bed without a lift. I've also heard stories of people that I've worked with for a long time at the front line who got injured and can no longer work in the career that they love. You know, rehab nursing is a love. And when you can no longer do it, it's pretty sad. And I've had multiple stories of nurses who are now working desk jobs because they've ruined their back. And so it's really personal for me. I want to make sure that our nurses have a long career at the bedside, and using tools like the BMAT and technology to safely move patients is something that we need to move towards. Roxy?
And I would just echo what Jamie said. I've been a rehabilitation nurse most of my career also. And like Jamie says, we get in a hurry and we're moving our patients, and then the next thing you know, we've hurt our back. And so it's a way of keeping our patients safe, but it's also a way of keeping our caregivers safe.
And, you know, one of the things that happened back in 2022, I was asked to lead an enterprise committee on reducing patient handling injuries. And I was like, sure, I'm the rehab nurse. I know how to move people. But that committee actually taught me a ton about safe patient handling and why we need to use technology. And that a patient assessment is very important to understand how your patients move before you actually move them. So that's another reason as well.
Absolutely. Those are both such relatable things to think about. And I mean, I'm an OT, I'm not a nurse by background. So I certainly can relate in a way where I took pride in being one of those people on the unit that got asked to help move another patient. And so it's really an interesting background as to why you came to wanting to investigate the BMAT more. So we know that physically moving a patient may not be the most effective and safe way to move a patient. So let's enter BMAT. This is the bedside mobility assessment tool. Can you tell the listeners what exactly the BMAT is and why it is so effective and safe in determining how to transfer a patient?
So I'll start off. The BMAT is a patient handling assessment. A lot of times it gets confused with like a falls risk assessment, but if you're safely moving your patients, you should be reducing falls at the same time. And so it is objective. We are running the patient through some physical therapy assessments. A physical therapist will see the BMAT and see pieces of it that are very familiar to them. And so this objective assessment gives us information that everybody can use to safely move their patients. What we did before was, I think that this patient's a meniscist, and I'm going to move them based on my knowledge of what I think meniscist is. And my physical therapy counterpart is going to maybe move that patient differently with their knowledge of what meniscist is. And so this actually gets us on the same page of doing and moving our patients in the same way.
Yeah, that's a really good take in why it's so safe and effective, because so many ways that we communicate how the patient is moving is subjective to the clinician. So this is a really great way to get everybody on the same page and understanding what level of assistance the patient might need. So if you are at AMPRA or the American Medical Rehabilitation Providers Association conference last fall, you were lucky enough to witness firsthand Jamie and Roxy's portrayal of the BMAT. So they did a little acting of how you would complete the BMAT. But for the listeners, can you tell us today what the steps are in the assessment?
Sure. So there's four different steps in it, and you can either have the patient sit in on a chair or at the edge of the bed, but the patient needs to get to the edge of the bed either by using the railing or some other kind of device sitting at the edge of the bed. So that's the first step, getting them sitting at the edge of the bed. Then level one, this is where the test actually kind of starts to take place, is get them to the edge of the bed. That means that they can follow instructions. We're going to check for trunk strength and seated balance. So as the patient is sitting at the edge of the bed or on a chair, with the head of the bed either 30 degrees, you ask the patient to sit upright and rotate to a seated position at the edge of the bed. And then you're going to ask the patient to reach across and you're going to shake their right hand with your left hand. So both kind of crisscross. And if they can do that, then we can go on to level two. If they can't do that, then we know that they're a level one and they are going to need kind of either a mobile ceiling lift or some type of, they're a max assist. They're going to need some type of lift to get them. So if they've passed level one, we're going to go on to level two. And this is needed for standing and walking. It's going to check their leg strength and their ankle flexibility. So as they're still seated in that seated position, we're going to have them take one leg and stretch it out and ask them to flex their ankle and flex it up and then flex it down and then do it on the other side, pointed toes up and down. They can do that, then we go on to level two. If they can't do that, then we know, hey, they don't have enough leg strength to be able to stand on their own. So we'd classify them as a level two. Moving on to level three, we're going to assess their tolerance for standing. So we're going to ask the patient to lift off the bed. And in a standing position, we're going to be able to, they need to be able to stand there for 5 seconds. So counting to five. If the patient fails this, they're unable to come to a standing position, then we know that it walks you through what kind of a lift to use, maybe a Sarah-Steady or a cane or a walker. So then we'll move on to level 4. And this is the pre-gait activity, and it's going to assess whether they're able to bear weight and whether they're able to shift their weight. So we're going to ask the patient to march in place at the bedside and then ask the patient to advance 1 step forward and 1 step back on right and the left side. If they're able to do that, then we know that they're probably pretty good. We put a gait belt on them. They're going to be able to either walk to the restroom or walk where they need to be. So those are the 4 considerations. And each step walks you through what kind of a lift to use if they were to fail. The assessment is done 2 times per day. So once AM shift and 1 PM shift. And this is done across every single unit of the hospital, including mom and baby units.
I love this so much because there really is a lot of overlap within the assessment itself and some of the other mobility areas that we're assessing, especially at the inpatient rehab level. So we're looking a lot at, you know, the patient's ability to complete a sit to stand. We're looking at, you know, a patient's ability to have unsupported sitting balance. And so there is a lot of overlap between just the BMAT and some of those other required elements that we have to assess, at least at the inpatient rehab level. So I can really see how this can be incorporated across the board.
I might add too that, like, as Jamie mentioned earlier, a lot of times as nurses, if we got a late admission, we did not know how to move the patient. So we wouldn't move them because we weren't sure. They haven't been evaluated by therapy. This gives the nurse a quick evaluation so that anybody entering that room knows immediately how to move that patient.
Absolutely. Getting the patients upright and sitting and out of bed is really important. And the sooner you can do that, the better. I am curious, and I'm sure our listeners are too, how did you decide amongst yourselves which Intermountain Health sites to pilot the BMAT at?
Well, I opened it up to my nurse manager peers and asked who wants to pilot this new assessment. But I was able to get 3 med-surg units, an inpatient rehabilitation unit, transitional care unit, and a mom baby unit to try this assessment out on different populations.
Yeah, I love that. I love the diversity that you chose from the get-go. Can you share a little bit about the results of implementation at those initial sites? Specifically, were there any reduction in staff injuries?
Oh, of course. Yeah. So we started this pilot, really did the training in the summer of 2023. And once our compliance to charting the BMAT twice a day got up above 70%, we officially started the pilot September 1st and ran it for a few months. But with the results from the pilot, we were able to reduce falls by 66%. We reduced falls with injury by 88%, and we increased our assisted falls by 69%. Now, these units, these weren't low fall units. They were actually pretty high fall units. And so that was a pretty huge result for us. When we looked at injuries, we had an 86% decrease in OSHA recordables of patient handling injuries for these units. And some of these units were very high offenders of patient handling injuries. I also looked at our float pool nurses who came in and out of those units, and they had a 50% reduction in patient handling injuries. Now, the other thing that I did do was I watched a control group. So I had 3 other med-surg units, another inpatient rehab, similar units, and I watched their data as we were running the pilot because they were not doing the BMAT. Those units did not decrease their patient handling injuries at all, and they remained at the same amount as they were at baseline. And they did have some decrease in falls because there was a push across Intermountain to decrease falls. And so there was a better improvement overall in our pilot units.
Wow. Those are some amazing numbers. And something that you would expect any healthcare provider to want to see decrease is falls. And finding a way to implement safe patient handling is tricky because there are always barriers when getting staff to want to adopt other tasks to put on their workload. And those numbers alone are significant and really important to our industry. So I'm loving this information. Thank you for sharing it.
Well, I'm going to blow your mind even more. I also did a cost-benefit analysis.
Wow.
So we did have to purchase 4 sit-to-stand or non-powered sit-to-stand devices, which cost about $8,000. And I actually calculated the time that it took for a nurse to perform the BMAT on average and allocated a cost to that. So total cost overall of just the pilot was about $10,000. But our savings in the reductions of falls with injury is about $30,000. And our savings in the reduction of patient handling injuries is about $40,000. So it makes a difference to the bottom line too, because you're not having to spend extra money on these injuries that your staff and patients are having.
That's amazing. Such valuable information. So do you have any staff feedback about the BMAT? Any feedback on those who are using it and any barriers to implementing the BMAT on those units?
Oh yeah, go ahead, Roxy, you go first.
I was just going to say, I have a smaller unit. I employ about 20 nurses, and they love that they have the freedom of being able to know for sure how to move the patient. Sometimes there's been little barriers about, like, they feel like, oh, it's one more thing they have to do, but it literally takes a minute. If they're doing it correct, they can have it done and be able to know how to move the patient. And also when transport comes to get a patient, it's universal throughout the hospital. So they know exactly, like, oh, this is what I need to move this patient. This is how I can move this patient. So it's universal throughout the hospital, which we love because anybody can walk into a room and know how to move a patient.
And throughout the pilot and with our enterprise rollout of the BMAT, I send surveys. So the first survey from the pilot, I wanted to know from the RNs and the PCTs, like, hey, would other units benefit from using the BMAT? Is this something we should continue? And nurses were about 50-50 that they agreed with that statement. But our PCTs, our staff that moved patients the most, 100% agreed that this was useful and that other people would benefit from utilizing the BMAT. And that, I think, was a huge selling point from our pilot to then go enterprise-wide with the BMAT.
Absolutely. Yeah, especially the people that are spending the most time with the patients and moving the patients, transferring them. That feedback from them is really what's most important. I'm curious, how are you communicating this amongst the interdisciplinary team? So I imagine each facility may have a different way of communicating which level the patient might be at with the BMAT each shift. So I'm curious, from your perspective, what you're hearing is the way of communication.
Go ahead, Jamie.
Oh, I was just going to say that when we did roll this out across the enterprise, we created a standardized kind of form that either goes on the outside of the door or inside of the next to, like, the patient communication board. So that was a standardized tool that we sent out to the entire enterprise. But Roxy, tell them about your unit.
We use the standardized tool outside the door. We also have magnets. So the magnet is on the door, also in the room. So it's very visible, very easy for anybody to see where the BMAT, what level the patient's at before even entering the room.
Right. Okay, great. So it's updated on each shift, and that's right there when you enter the room. So anyone coming in that might have to transfer the patient or provide assistance with mobility has a set of eyes on where they're at with the BMAT as soon as they walk in. That sounds great. Anything else that you'd like to highlight that we haven't covered in some of our questions?
I was going to just say that since we've implemented this enterprise-wide, so across 19 hospitals, we've implemented the BMAT in all of our med-surges, all of our inpatient rehabs, mom-baby units, and ICUs. On average, our fall data before we implemented the BMAT, we were averaging about 230 falls a month. Our new average right now is 130 falls per month. We do have some noise kind of in the data. I think we just need to make sure that the nurses are consistent in charting and compliance in doing the BMAT. And I think we'll see an even more solid decrease in falls. We're seeing similar patterns with decreased falls and injury. We've got a great trend line that's decreasing over the last couple of years with falls with injury. We're down at least a good 16%. And our assisted falls have also increased across our system. Our patient handling incidents, we're actually down 20% in our OSHA recordables. And we're meeting stretch as an organization for OSHA recordables, which is exciting. So the injuries that are happening, which we still have some, are less severe than what they were in previous years. So we're really excited about these results.
Yeah, that's huge. Huge. That, I mean, that's more than you could ask for. I wonder, when you went into this and considered implementing using this, you know, at Intermountain Health, did you think that you would have this kind of turnaround and these kinds of results in reduction in falls and injuries?
I didn't think it'd be this fast. I thought it would take, more time to actually get this implemented and to get people on board. Like right now, our compliance of charting the BMAT twice a day is at 60%, which is amazing because we don't have a specific task for nurses to do the BMAT within our system for reasons. And there is a lot of barriers for nurses to add this into their flow. There's a time barrier. There's still a knowledge gap that we're trying to close. But for us to be at 60% across our enterprise is, I'm very proud of that. I'm proud of our slow incremental decreases in falls and falls in, with injury and patient handling.
Yeah, absolutely. You should be proud. This is super exciting. I hope that our healthcare industry gets a chance to listen to this podcast so that there is more action on the BMAT and that others choose to implement this too. But I want to thank you both for joining me today to bring more light to this very important topic in healthcare, which is safe patient handling. And for those listening, if you're in healthcare, ask yourself, are you using the BMAT? Are you advocating for safe patient handling? Because the extra minute it takes to assess mobility can save a career or a life. Until next time, stay safe, stay strong, and remember, you are not a lift.
At McBee, we understand the challenges providers face across the healthcare landscape. For more than 45 years, we've been a part of the evolution of the healthcare industry. Our strategic advisory solutions span the home health, hospice, health system, and senior living care continuums, creating improved clinical, financial, and operational outcomes. Our expertise is guaranteed. Our solutions empower. Visit us today at McBeeAssociates.com. Thank you for listening to McBee Care Threads. To ensure you never miss an episode, please subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast player. If you use Apple Podcasts, we'd love for you to give us a quick rating for the show. Just tap the number of stars that you think the podcast deserves. For more information on the topics discussed today, visit our website at McBeeAssociates.com. Until next time.